This will be a relatively short session because Philippians is drawing to a close. We are in chapter 4 of Philippians, and as in most of Paul's letters, as he gets to the end, you know, there's less to talk about. So we're going to start with we're actually going to start with verse 2 because we included verse 1 of chapter 4 in the last chunk of chapter 3 because it was part of that paragraph, which just leads me to point out to you that the chapters and verses were not put in by Paul, right?
Right.
The chapters and verses were done much later by other editors. So when the Philippians first unrolled the letter from Paul, there weren't, you know, chapter and verse numbers. So verses 2 and 3 of Philippians is just kind of, well, I'll read them and then we can talk about them. It's hard to explain. I urge Yodia and I urge Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you also, my loyal companion, help these women, for they have struggled beside me in the work of the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are written in the book of life. So he names here two women. And obviously they had been disagreeing because he asked them to be of the same mind in the Lord, right?
Right.
The speculation by scholars is that these are two of the wealthy women who hosted gatherings of Christians in their homes, and that they were having a disagreement about how that should be done. And that Paul wants them to be of the same mind. But notice that he mentions that they have struggled together with me in the work of the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my co-workers. So he doesn't make a distinction between them and other co-workers.
Now, are these co-workers Philippians?
Some of them are Philippians, some of them are not. We don't know who Clement is.
Okay.
We actually don't know anything else about these women. This is the, you know, we get a brush of their names and nobody knows anything about them. Hang on just a second. Oh, hi Art. How are you?
Good, how are you? There's okay. No more beef chili, I just looked.
Okay, did you check in the top? The top drawer of the freezer?
I'll do it.
All right, hang on. So, sorry about that. So, moving on then, we are...
Can I ask a question?
Sure. Sure.
Verse 3, it says, yes, and I ask you also, my loyal companion, singular. Why is he addressing a singular person in this letter when the letter, I thought, was to all of the Philippians?
I don't know the answer to that. Greek is weird.
Okay.
Greek is weird. So, that's all I can say, is that Greek is weird. I do have a note that... that in some of those texts, there's a name. Yeah.
No.
You didn't find any. Okay, so we're down to just vegetarian, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks, Art. Sorry. So, in some versions, that's listed as loyal Syzygus, Syzygus. Which is not a Greek name, so I'm not sure who that would be. But there are apparently some texts that have him referring only to that person.
Okay, so the Philippians speak Greek. That's their native language.
Yes.
Okay. And it's true of all the cities in that peninsula.
Probably, although not necessarily, some of the cities that are in Turkey may speak some form of African dialect, some form of dialect. But anybody who could read would be able to read Greek, mm-hmm. who lived in that part of the world. Okay. So then, moving on to verse 4. And this chunk, we're going to go through verse 9. And this bit will sound, some of it will sound familiar to you. It's been pulled on quite a lot. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. So it's a nice kind of encouragement and benediction all rolled into one, right?
Look on the bright side of life.
That's right. Rejoice always. You know, no matter what's happening, rejoice always. Again, I will say rejoice, right? The Lord is near. Don't worry. Keep praying. Yeah.
I'm reading the Book of Joy, mm-hmm. and that's essentially what that book is about.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to be, yeah.
Yeah.
And we certainly need that right here in our present times in our world.
Kidding.
Right, and remember that he's writing to a group of people who are being attacked from the outside, right? Mm-hmm. So he's reminding them of, keep in mind that God is with you no matter what. Rejoice no matter what's happening, right?
Right.
So, and he gets just that little bit in about, keep doing those things that you've seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. So there's just that little bit of, you know,
Paul
being Paul, you know. It's about me.
Especially humility, right?
That's right. Paul and his humility. That's right. So, you know, what can you do? He's Paul. He is who he is. So, but that little bit of Philippians is, you, obviously, as I was reading it, you probably have heard a bunch of those things before. It's one of the more quoted portions of the letter. So, let's see here. Then, the whole rest of the book is kind of gifts and greetings. He greets some people and he talks about some gifts. So, we're going to finish up beginning with verse 10. Alright? I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last you have received your concern, you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned for me, but had no opportunity to show it. Not that I am referring to being in need, for I have learned to be content with whatever I have. I know what it is to have little, and I know what it is to have plenty. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being well fed and of going hungry, of having plenty and of being in need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. In any case, it was kind of you to share my distress. You Philippians indeed know that in the early days of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you alone. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs more than once. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the profit that accumulates to your account. I have been paid in full and have more than enough. I am fully satisfied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will fully satisfy every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The friends who were with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of the emperor's households. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. So, there's a little bit of, you have read enough of Paul by now to pick up his, no, really, I'm fine. You don't need to worry about me. I figured out how to deal with poverty, but thank you for thinking about me. You know, that will sound familiar to you by this point in your journey through Paul. So obviously the Philippians have sent him some money, and this is his way of thanking them. I'm not sure really why anybody ever sent Paul money twice, given the way that he responds, but hey.
Then it was the money for Jerusalem, right?
No, apparently they sent him money for himself.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Linda.
Well, he said, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you alone. Is that true?
When he was in Thessalonica, he says, nobody sent him money. We don't know. We don't know. Because we don't have any records of Paul's, we don't have any specifics or specific records of Paul's time in any of these places other than his letters. So what he's saying to the Philippians is, when I was in Thessalonica, and we do know from the book of Acts that he got in trouble in Thessalonica, which does not set that apart from any of the other places he visits, but that he got in some trouble in Thessalonica. And apparently while he was there, the Philippians did send him some support and some money. So.
So in verse 10, when it says, going back to that beginning of the paragraph, mm-hmm. Now at last you have revived your concern for me. Mm-hmm. Is that because they were in contact at one point in time, and then there was a long time when they weren't,
yes.
In communication?
That's the sense you get from it, that they had sent him help when he was in Thessalonica, and they have now sent him help again, and that there was some period of time between those two things where they didn't. Yeah, Gigi.
What do we know about Philippi?
Not as much about some of the others. It's on the land trade route.
Was it a... Was it a wealthy community?
Relatively, yes. It was a stopping point on the land trade route between, I gotta pull out my map to get the notes right. Basically between Neapolis, which was the big port on the Aegean, and then the Adriatic. So if you were going to go overland rather than sailing around Greece, you would land at the Neapolis, go up to Philippi, and then overland because there weren't any mountains there. So it was a relatively prosperous city.
Is that where the seller of purple, I can't remember her name, is it Lydia?
No, that's not where Lydia is. She's in...
Oh, I see on the map now.
Yeah.
Okay, where Philippi is.
Yeah, okay. She's in one of the other cities that Paul visits. But it's a trade route city, so, you know.
So there would have been some wealth, because mm-hmm. my notes say that it was that was the strongest church community.
It was the strongest church community because it was subject to harassment and from outside.
Okay.
In a way that many of the other communities weren't as much. And that made them draw together more. So they did, unlike the Corinthians and the Ephesians, who spent a lot of time arguing with each other, because there was an external threat in Philippi, it drew them together.
That's very much human nature.
Yes. They had less energy to spend fighting with each other because they had to deal with everybody else. So,
towards the end of verse 18, it says, "You sent a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing." What would the fragrant offering be?
That's just a turn of phrase. That's just a poetic phrase.
It's not money?
It is money. He's just using poetry to thank them for them. You've sent me a fragrant offering, pleasing to God.
Okay.
But they sent him money.
Okay.
So back in the beginning, I think it's verse 3. Mm-hmm. He says, "Book of Life." Is that also a metaphorical reference?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, that's a metaphorical reference. And possibly a later addition, because the idea of believers in Jesus having their names written in the Book of Life is a later development. So there's some scholarly thought that maybe that phrase got added as it was being edited. In sometime between the time when Paul wrote it and the hundreds of years when it got added to the canon of Scripture, that it may have been an editor's edition that they decided they liked. Yes, Gigi.
So they were giving the writers over the decades were giving their in words their appreciation for the sense of what was happening. Mm-hmm. And being expressed, not actually verbatim.
Right. Now, yes, and particularly for Philippians, there, as I said at the beginning of our study of this book, there is quite a lot of speculation that this was not actually a single letter that Paul wrote, that it's fragments of several letters that Paul wrote that over time got put together into one book, which gave the editors more scope to add in some pieces to make them connect.
But if someone were to question the authenticity, it would still all be authentic. Just, you know, I mean, they didn't go outside the realm of reality, so to speak, of what would have been happening.
Authentic is a tricky word when it comes to ancient texts, because you're talking about, particularly with things like letters, you're talking about correspondence between a group of people and a single individual, but that then got read by communities to whom it wasn't written. Because Paul only wrote so many letters, only so many of them survived. People copied and shared them. So he wrote to the Philippians, but it didn't just stay with the Philippians.
Right. It's like when you whisper a secret in someone's ear.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, Paul's writing 55, 56 AD. The first, or the oldest manuscript of it we have is from 300 AD.
Oh, wow.
So what happened to it from the time, you know, you're talking about a long period of time there, more than 200 years.
Wow.
Before, you know, from the time it was first actually written until we have a version of it, what happened to it in all that time?
But to use quotes, the message, in my mind, is
right.
Authentic.
Yes. I mean, this is Paul's message to the Philippians.
Yeah.
Did it come in one letter? Probably not. Did it come in two or three? Probably. And did those three letters get torn apart and put back together? Sure. And then the people who are deciding what books are Christian scripture, what are the books that contain what we need to know, decided that the Philippians, as they had it, was important enough and carried enough messages that the church needed to have going forward, that they included it. And there wasn't any debate about including it. There was debate about including lots of different books. Philippians was not one of them. It shows up on every list. Everybody who was involved in the... And it was not a short process. It was a 150 to 200 year process. From the time they started having the conversations of, gee, you know, it would be really good to have a sense of what is the Christian scripture.
So when did that start?
About 350 AD, and it finally ended around 500 AD. So, and Philippians is one of the few books that ended up on everybody's list and that nobody much argued about. It was like, oh yeah, Philippians, that should be in there. But it's, you know, it's really important, and I say this a lot, so forgive me if I'm boring you, but it's really important when we study scripture to remember that it's not like God gave dictation, right? These things did not come to pass because somebody sat down and God told them what to write. These things were written by men, and I use men meaning male human beings, were written by men at a specific time, at a specific place, and that things happened to them over time. Things happened to the writings over time. None of which means that scripture isn't God's word to us, but it isn't necessarily the words of God. So it's the word of God, but not the words of God, if that makes sense.
Not, in other words, it's not literally the words of God.
You right.
Didn't speak them, and
that's right.
Someone wrote them down.
That's right.
That brings to mind the fact that there are more Dead Sea Scrolls now being discovered.
Yes, they just found some new stuff. In the Dead Sea. So it'll be interesting to see what's really there and yeah. And if there's anything new.
Gladys had her hand up.
I'm sorry, Gladys, were you raising your hand? No? Okay.
There's a little hand on your screen.
No. Okay. So anything else about Philippians before we call an end to our sojourn with that community?
I think Paul reminds me of a mother. And the words that he speaks come across like things that your mother said to you. You know, they were to be paid attention to, as if they were from God anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yep. Okay. Probably what we'll do next week is I'll give you the in-depth introduction to Romans, and then we'll take our break for Holy Week and then pick up on the text of Romans right after that. All right, so plan on a shorter session next week, just because it won't take me an hour to give you an in-depth history of Romans. There's not that much.
You want to say a few words about what we talked briefly about the next book club?
No, I don't. I don't really want to do that today because I haven't made up my mind yet. I need to get some stuff together.
Okay.
So, okay. All right, and that'll be in May, so we have lots of time.
I know, but I'm always looking forward to things. So.
Okay. If there's nothing else...
Sunday, Wait, but the Sunday, we still have one more Lent Ed.
Yeah, we have one more Lent Ed, Sunday at 9. We have one more Lent Ed discussion. And then April 28th, I think, is the April book group, where we'll do some more talking about two parables from the Amy Jill Levine book and some others. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Looking forward to it.
All right. See you all Sunday and next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.